You didn't hear anything about Donald Sterling being around the NBA or anything, did you? Or?
Oh, no. I would go to Los Angeles. I've been, you know, I've been writing books and writing about the Lakers for, I don't know, since 1989. And, you know, I would go in a, the Lakers or Clippers would all often inhabit the same building. But when I first started, the Lakers were in the Forum. And the Clippers were over in the sports arena. Mm-hmm. And whenever, you know, they'd bounce back and forth across town. And I always remembered Magic Johnson and Donald Sterling being really friendly. But to me, Sterling, and this is true of most of the NBA, Sterling was a guy who was always sandbagging. In other words, he could collect big checks just by fielding a team. He never really seemed to have a lot of focus and certainly not a lot of respect as somebody who was eager to compete as an owner.
Until the last couple of years, then he sort of picked up the pace the last couple of years.
Yeah,
as far as paying players and things like that.
Part of my book, he made some noise trying to trade for Jordan back in the late 80s because he needed he knew that in L.A. you needed some star power. But he really never he never had a clue. It never struck me as that. And he sort of obviously enjoyed the spotlight of being an owner, but he was always, to me, the NBA's biggest flake.
What did you think of, before we talk about your book, what did you think about what the NBA did coming, Adam Silver, the commissioner, coming down on him?
Well, you know, it was such a jarring thing to the NBA community. I've been writing about basketball, and particularly pro basketball, for 30 years, and I've been covering NBA games, it seems like, all my life. And, you know, there's a thing I love about the NBA. It's sort of this community that craves racial harmony. The people who go to NBA games, the people who work for NBA teams, they always really seem, I mean, they have their differences and fans are, you know, have their teams, but it's always been this very open place racially. And that's one of the things I've loved about it. And so these comments were really jarring and hurtful for a lot of people. And it's like, you know, you got this guy who's been sandbagging and soaking in the cash from the labor of other people. And he just hasn't been honest. You know, he's just dishonest in how he feels. And so that was extremely hurtful. I was on Southern California Public Radio for an hour on their ongoing discussion program. And there was a lot of anger being expressed on public radio the day it was announced as to what I think about. I think it was swift and a smart action, and it sort of lanced a boil for the NBA community, but I think this is a tangled thing they're going to have to try to deal with. Sterling's been an owner for a long, long time. And
well, his wife has a piece of the team, so it's not quite as clear-cut as they may think.
Oh, no. And, you know, it really is going to depend. He doesn't have anything to lose. That's one thing about everything they've done to him. They've put him in a corner, and so it becomes his venue for fighting for his reputation. And, you know, and as people get – he's in 80, and so as people get near the end of their lives, reputation matters far more than money. So they could be in for a little bit of a tug there.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Roland Lazenby, sports writer, written a new book about Michael Jordan. And let's go back a little bit. You've written – you know, rolling a number of books on NBA basketball, several on Jordan, Michael Jordan, and the Bulls during their heyday. How did that come about? Is that something you sort of fell into, or did you specifically go after, hey, I want to write about the Bulls?
Well, I had, in 1992, I was at the NBA All-Star Game, and the Chicago Tribune had its book division in Orlando then. And while I was at the All-Star Game covering the event, I was invited over to meet with the editors and publisher of Tribune Publishing. And at that time, they contracted me to write a couple of things about the Bulls. The Bulls were on their way to their second title. Then they also wanted to do a team history of the Bulls. And so those contracts put me in place to begin writing and covering the Bulls. Prior to that, I was writing about the Pistons and the Celtics, both of whom were battling the Bulls in the Eastern Conference in the late 80s.
The bad boys, the Pistons.
Right, and I did a series of books about and for the Pistons. And so as a result, I was covering that Pistons Chicago Bulls rivalry when the Pistons were the bad boys, and they were so tough on a young Jordan.
What made Michael Jordan so iconic as a player, Roland? And, you know, what made him so competitive? But what made him an icon?
Well, you know, as Michael told me a couple of years ago, looking back on his life, he said, timing is everything. And, of course, it's a combination of things. Obviously, he was this undiscovered talent. He wasn't listed among the top 500 best high school players as a junior. He had a late start down in Wilmington at Laney High School. And it sort of created this almost mythic thing when Dean Smith offered him a scholarship and Michael was discovered, quote, at the five-star camp. And so that started it, but he was sort of hidden in the Carolina system. It was heavy, what they call system basketball. It didn't feature a lot of athletic plays. It was all team-oriented. But Michael hit that shot as a freshman.
To win the championship, right?
To win the national championship. Right. And then he came out and Nike, Sonny Vaccaro, there's quite a story in the book about before he'd even played an NBA game, Nike gave him, because Sonny Vaccaro sensed he was going to be a star. Sonny Vaccaro was the big shoe maven in basketball in the early 80s. He remains something of that today. But they gave Jordan a huge contract. No established NBA player had ever gotten anything like it with a 25% royalty. They would have given him a 50% royalty, but everyone was frightened that the shoes wouldn't sell. Well, then the NBA banned Michael's shoes, and suddenly they were selling tens of millions of dollars of Air Jordan basketball shoes that had been banned, and he was getting this huge royalty. He was making all this money. He could fly. This player could fly. Then they discovered his intense competitiveness, and all of it just kept rolling along into this icon status.
I wanted to ask you about his competitiveness. Was that driven from the fact that maybe he wasn't a successful player early on? He wanted to prove to himself and the world that he was the best?
Well, it was really driven by the fact that his father favored his brother Larry, who was 11 months older than Michael, and they battled it, you know, at basketball in the backyard. Really very physical battles, very heated. And that really is the psychologist George Mumford, who worked with the Bulls for years, explained to me. That really sort of cast the die for how Michael related to all his future teammates. James Worthy, in the interviews for this book, he was a junior at North Carolina. And James Worthy told me when Michael came in as a freshman, he was already a bully. And he bullied me, is what Worthy said, you know. And Michael is just intensely competitive, and he wants to dominate everyone on every team that he plays.
We're talking with Roland Lazenby, a sports writer. His new book is Michael Jordan, The Life. And isn't this one of, if not the first, what you would call definitive biography of Michael Jordan?
It's 700 pages. If it's not definitive, they might run me out of town. Yes, it is designed to take into account not just his full life, but the culture that produced him, all of these things that shaped him. You know, these large definitive biographies just look at virtually everything about a person. The idea is when someone reaches that iconic status, and of course, Jordan is such a business figure. He's such a sports figure. He's such a cultural figure, not just in this country, but globally. And so the idea of examining his life in full was important. And, of course, Little Brown is just the publisher to publish that kind of book.
And you went into some of his background, I believe, his sharecropping family background, that type of thing?
Right. The Jordans and also his mother's people, the Peoples, were all sharecroppers and moonshiners on the coastal plain of North Carolina. And, of course, North Carolina had more Klan members than all the other southern states combined. So it was people don't understand that about North Carolina, that it was intensely racist. And so it's an interesting backdrop for the Jordan emergence.
How much access did you have to MJ, Michael, as you put this book together? Or was a lot of what you did talking to people around him and going back into some of the things you've done in the past?
Well, I'd had my access for years with him, and Michael had always been good to me. I went and told him I was doing this, and no one likes a biography written about them. But Michael came around, and he offered to get involved more if he could have editorial control. But Michael's, you know, we could have sold a lot more books that way. But Michael has always sort of controlled the conversation on his life. And the whole idea is that this is an independent examination. And so we look at every phase of what's going on with Michael. It's not a deeply negative book. We just tried to have a very balanced look at his life.
So in this book, The Life, you really didn't sit down with Michael?
No, the last time I sat down with Michael one-on-one was in 2008. And I started the book in 2010. But, I mean, the interviews, and I've had access to the top levels of everything involved in the Bulls for years. The dominant assistant coach with the Bulls was Tex Winter, and he and I were very close. I had a great relationship with Johnny Bach, with George Mumford, the team psychologist. I once had a great relationship with Phil Jackson till I wrote a biography about him. So I've had access to guys like Steve Kerr. Steve was usually helpful. A whole array of people. I nail the story, and I'm not trying to brag on that, but it took me 4 years and it was very difficult. But there's a lot of information in there.
We're talking with Roland Lazenby, sports writer. His new book is Michael Jordan, The Life. A couple more questions. What do you think people will come away with when they read this book, Roland, the opinion of Michael? Will they come away enlightened? Will they come away with a negative opinion? Or what do you think they'll come away with?
Well, the early views of people who've read the book, and I'm the Chicago Tribune interviewed me yesterday, SportsIllustrated.com. I'm getting tremendously positive feedback because it is so balanced. And what one reviewer said yesterday is that it humanizes this guy who had been shoved into superstar status from his very first moments in pro basketball. And so I just really tried to tell the story of Michael Jordan, the person. It's a difficult family story, and you just sort of gain the full context of his life, a little different understanding, I believe, in some ways a lot different.
And you're going out on a major book tour. Talk about that.
Pardon me. Yes, Little Brown is sending me, I have to go to Chicago a couple of three times, which culminates in the Chicago Book Festival in June. I have to do a tour of North Carolina. Got a couple other stops on the thing. I think I have to go to New York sometime between now and mid-June. It's enough. And in so many radio interviews, phone interviews all over the place, and have to do a WGN segment on their noon show that goes nationwide. So, I'm not sure what else. I haven't gotten the list. It all just starts next Tuesday when the book's released on May 6th.
Last question. You happy with how it came out after all the editing? I know you had to get rid of a lot of pages, but are you happy?
I wrote 1,000 pages, more than 1,000, and we had to work to cut it. The editor tried to cut it. He couldn't cut it. I had to do it. It was just, yes, it was difficult, but yes, I'm very happy. And, it's 4 years of my life on the page. More than that, really, because I've been doing Bulls work and NBA stuff for a long, long time. So all my experience really on the page.
Roland Lazenby from Salem is a sports writer. His new book is Michael Jordan, The Life. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Gene.